Good, and yeah, I just wanted to say thanks, Larry, again, if you're listening, for that correction, that field day is definitely in June. So I wrote all that down. I know everything's really tentative because of the, you know, the COVID stuff, but I'm thinking most people think it's over, so I really hope that people just go ahead and put a date down on the calendar and hit enter. But, I think I had another question, but I can't think of anything. If anyone has anything else to add, come on in, KO4JKB.
KK4JBQ, KI4LCI.
LCI, KK4JBQ.
Ten questions, just like you answered
a
while ago. I turn it over to you.
I'm no expert. I just read a lot. KK4JBQ.
Was saying before, if I was the antenna expert that I wished I was, I'd have my HF antenna issue here straightened out, and it ain't. So I ain't going to claim to be the expert on all antenna issues. Go ahead, Duncan.
KO4JKB. Yeah, I'm definitely a newbie. I'm the newest of the whole bunch, for sure. My new HF consists of FD891 and a Buddy Stick Pro Vertical. But I have talked to Brazil, California, and I could hear Spain, but I didn't have the guts to pull the trigger on that. But it's been really fun, and I have a lot of questions, and I'm having fun so far. Over.
You've all been there, and as the years pass, you're expected to pick up a few things, and it just naturally happens. If you really have an interest in the hobby, things will begin to stick somewhere in the walls of your mind. It will begin to stick, and you can go back to these little post-it notes in your head. And, but it also helps. It helps to build. If you buy all your antennas, then you can talk about, you know, what someone else has done. But if you learn about, this is probably the most important thing you learn about in this hobby, antennas. With the greatest, most expensive radio, you won't be satisfied unless you make contacts. And that has a great deal to do with the antenna that you use. So build a few. Wire is not that cheap, but if you ask around, a lot of people have wire to spare. I know a guy that has spools of it. You do too. So, decide on a design and learn a little bit about balance and chokes, if you will, and you'll be able to build a few yourself. And that experience will go a long way, and believe me, it will stick with you. KK4JBQ.
KK4JBQ, KO4JKB. Yeah, thanks for that. And I feel like I'm doing the right thing. Every day I'm thinking about radio or watching the video. Today I've had a real epiphany. I was watching the Dave Kassler video, and he was talking about how he can get a 40-meter infed half-wave and to be fit to work on 20 and all these other bands without a tuner. And because of the harmonics. Sense for me, because I played guitar since I was about 10 years old, and if you do the 12th fret, it's a perfect harmonic. If you do the 6th, it's the quarter, and then there's harmonics above it and below it. It's just like sound, and it's just like radio waves, and just clicks. So that was a really good epiphany today.
Sound a little odd, but radio frequencies, visible light, even the heat off of a poker that's been in the fire. It's all energy, and it's all the same thing. and wavelength, whether it be in nanometers or in, that's very tiny, or full wavelength on the lowest bands that we can operate. 160 meters is a huge antenna. You really do have to have some space for that. Or some clever designs, you know, like take up less space. You could build an antenna that goes all the way around your house, all four corners of your house. And if the house is big enough, you know, you have an antenna that will operate. Now, it's sort of parts of it are at right angles to each other, but that really doesn't matter to the antenna. Why, I'm not sure, but the physics work for you. That's a loop, by the way. And that's a four square, four corners and a square, or something like a delta, which is three corners in a triangle, or a delta, that's like a Greek letter delta. Those things help you save space if you don't have a lot of space. And they work on small antennas too, you know, I mean, those higher frequencies, these loop antennas. Now that's different from a magnetic loop, which, the RF energy we hope to squirt out of our antenna there's an electric component and a magnetic component. And with most antennas, you're using the electrical component to squirt RF. But in a magnetic loop, the name gave it away, didn't it? You're using the magnetic component of RF. And so it's very directional. It has a very high Q, which means that every time you move, you know, a couple of hertz, you have to retune it. But it's a very efficient antenna as well. And it can be low to the ground. And it's just the thing for some folks, you know. Oh, too much information. KK4JBQ.
JBQ, KO4JKV. Oh, that's great information right there. My first DIY project is just to do just a choke, and common mode RF choke on the input of my antenna. I'm not sure if I put it on the input of my receiver or at the connection point on my antenna, but that's what I'm going to do to try to kill some of this noise. I live in the city, and it is. Noise floor, especially on 40 meters, is really, really raging. But, thanks for all the advice. I tell you, this is better than getting on a chat group, because you might get, someone might be rude to you. Everyone here is nice. But, I got tons more questions, so I'll keep them coming. KO4JKB.
JKB. Well, if you're going to put a choke in your feed line, consider what the choke does. It keeps common mode current, which is headed back down towards your transceiver, and you don't want it in the shack. You don't want that stuff back in the shack. You want it all to go out the antenna. So since RF is alternating current, it has a path going to the antenna and a path coming back. What isn't squirt out of the antenna will come back. It's you know, or it's lost to the environment before it gets there. But what comes back in the shack is no friend of yours. So to choke it off, which is where that comes from, to choke off the return path of the energy that didn't go out the antenna the first time, you put the choke if your antenna were at the perfect height above ground, you put it one-third the distance away from the feed point of the antenna. So when the RF goes to the antenna and tries to come back, it travels just a short distance before it's refused by that choke, and the choke sends it right back to the antenna. And it does this at the frequency that you're operating on, which could be millions of times a second, you see, megahertz, you know, and that eventually it either burns up as heat because it's being reflected, but the choke heat is coming back at you. Does that answer the choke question?
JKB, yeah, it really does. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying the choke, the best place to put the choke would be from the antenna about a third of the way back on that feed line, just to give it room to, you know, do its thing.
Yeah, you'll hear a choke referred to sometimes as a ballon. It's really not. And you'll hear also that a choke right outside your shack, before the feed line comes into your shack, that's a good place. And that's also a good place. It just has a longer path, but at those speeds, it really doesn't matter. You can put it wherever it's convenient for you. And sometimes they take a little maintenance. I think I'd put it right outside the shack. Put it in line, in the feed line. And plans to construct a common mode choke or a one-to-one ballon, that's also how it's referred to. It does no transformation of impedance, and that's why it's one-to-one. But it is a choke, so let's call it a choke. And you get a better idea of what it's intended to do. You understand what's happening, which is the whole point. The clearer understanding you have about what's happening to your signal when it leaves your radio, the better off you are in so many respects. Why do you, for instance, why do you have one common point of ground within your shack? You want everything to be at the same potential, the same ground potential. So you don't want even if you have some excess length, you want all of your grounds to go to all of your equipment with the same length of wire. And then it goes out over, you know, your shack, your station ground. So that everything's kept at the same potential. And if your ground goes to, say, a grounding rod outside, and if also that grounding rod is bonded with your household electrical ground, everything is floating. Everything is floating and at the same potential. So when lightning strikes or a near strike causes static to crash in your ears, that goes to the ground outside. It's not magic. AK4JBQ.
JPQ, KO4JKB,
and Andy, yeah, I'll have a question for you. And I tell you, Larry, you have a way of answering questions that I was going to ask, but I didn't have to because you already answered them for me. But, the first one was the RF choke. It is a choke, but when they call it a one-to-one, and that just means there's no effect on the impedance. It's just one-to-one. That's what it is. So that was one question. I forgot the other one, so let me think about that. Go ahead, anybody.
KK4JBQ. Have you built any antennas as yet?
I just got my general about 2 months ago, so no. I have one antenna that I'm working with, but I have been, you know, toying with it. I'm not the type of person to just, if the directions don't give me the results, I don't send it back. I'm a thinker. I'm thinking, well, let's maybe do this, or maybe move the connection point here, or make the counterpoise a little longer, a little shorter, check the SWR. I'm always trying that stuff out, and that just, you know, it got me down the rabbit hole of, you know, maybe building my own.
So from what you've said already this evening, you're doing the right kind of research. I spend a lot of time on YouTube myself. I have heard Dave Casper and everything he's put out on the air. Something that you might not be aware of is that Casper is currently writing an article every month in QST. I hope you're a member of the ARRL. That's really good for you if you are. So their magazine, QST, comes out once a month. If you remember, you get it. And his article appears in it. Dave has taken over from a gentleman, Joel Howard. Can't remember Joel's call sign. But he wrote that article for many years. It's called The Doctor Is In. That was his banner for the same type of article. And Joel passed away, he's Silent Key, since I think late last year. And so Dave's taken over for him. And one good reference is lots of information. Is a compendium book that puts all of Joel Hallis's The Doctor Is In one publication. He does have, there are still podcasts, The Doctor Is In podcast. It was put out by the ARRL, of course.
Sign up to be a member yet. That's my next step, so I'll do that. Actually, I heard I don't have an antenna for 80 meters, but I heard these people talking on 80 about how the ARRL helped him be allowed to put up an antenna because I guess the ARRL got lawyers to, you know, help this guy be able to put up an antenna where his community said not to. I thought that was pretty neat. Over.
LZI back. You don't have nothing to transmit on, but you can listen in. The South Carolina single sideband net is on 3915 at 7 p.m. And the North Carolina single sideband net is on at 7:30 on 3938. Just for your information.
JKV. I think I got that right. That was, I don't think my antenna goes up that high.
Well, just receiving. You know, that's all I'm doing here. I don't call to have anything to receive with. Certainly not to rather transmit, but I'll listen around on the band still and pick up what I can, and I was just informing you of a couple of nets there that might interest you. I know tonight and Sunday night, South Carolina single sideband net at 7:39:15, and the one North Carolina single sideband net at 3938 at 7:30. And the Carolina Coastal net's on 3907. It's at 7 p.m. too, same time as the South Carolina single sideband net is.
AKB, I hate to do this to you, Andy, but I missed that, and I wanted to write that down. I got the 3907 at 7 p.m. What are those other ones, if you don't mind?
For LZI, you got the Carolina, Coastal Carolina net at 3907 at 7 p.m., all right? 3915, the South Carolina single sideband net. It's at the same time, 7 p.m., but on 3915. And the North Carolina single sideband net is at on 3938. At 7:30 p.m. It's what I say. I may not be able to transmit, but I do listen around still.
JKV, yeah, Andy. I tell you, I heard the story that you listen on radio for about a decade plus before you even talked on radio. So you know the times, the frequencies. Yeah, when you speak, it's like that old E.F. Hutton commercial. When you're talking, everyone's listening. Over.
Yeah, for heaven's sake, well, most of it was on, started right here on this repeater. Then about 2 or 3 years later, I got an old receiver that had AM and CW on it. And then come 79, I got one that had sideband on it, but I know a whole lot more about what's on 2 meters than I do HF steel to this day because, you know, I've actually done more with 2 meters than I have sideband HF because, like right now, you know, I can still listen around, but I don't have the most optimum antenna in the world even to listen around on, but it's just a matter of listening around over a period of time. Where you learn a lot of things like I did right here on this repeater starting in Christmas of 1976. About everybody that was on this repeater back then, they're all dead now. KI4LZI.
LZI, KO4JKB. Yeah, I got those frequencies. I got the 3907, 3915, 3938, all at 7 p.m., those nets. So I will check those out. That was one thing. I'd circle through and listen to net, and I don't know. I there is a website I can look at to see if it's a, you know, a net that you need to be qualified for, or if it's an open net. And I just never checked into one yet. But that's one thing I'm interested in. But go ahead. I'll pass it back to you. I do have a question for you. KO4JKB.
You got one of those times wrong. The North Carolina single sideband net, it's on 3938, but it's at 7:30 p.m. The other's at 7 p.m.
Copy that. The one 3938,
7:30 p.m. What happened to you, Larry? KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.
4LZI, KK4JBQ, my battery went south. I looked down and the radio was off. I've used it a couple of days and, you know, I suppose I have been keeping close watch of the voltage on the battery. I'm using an HT, so, you know, I don't have lots of information on this little screen. But anyway, but it went in and here I am again and there you are.
All right, you and, you have to forgive me, your name went out of my head, but you two go ahead and carry on. I'll be here monitoring for the time being, but I'll come in if I desire to. KI4LZI, go ahead, Duncan. Finally come to me.
Thanks, Andy. KK4JBQ, KO4JKV. Glad to get you back on here on the HT. I have a question, but I was going to address it to Andy, but you're up. Let me rethink it. So come back with whatever you got.
I'll just venture to say that Andy is as close to a local historian as we're going to know. I don't know anybody with longer experience or as good a memory. The call signs, names, and where people were, and yeah, maybe folks that were operating in the 70s have gone on to their reward, and someday we will too. So while we're here, just grab it all. Grab as much as you can hold and, you know, wrangle it. I personally think there's more to know about antennas than any one person could put in their head. I really do. I have a video that I saved to my computer. I don't know if it's still online, and I don't know where to get it. But a fellow was making a presentation to a radio club, and he had brought along with him, I know, at least 25 antennas of different designs. And he made them of different materials. They were all found materials, PVC pipe and wire, and he explained, he brought in a sample. He went to a big stash that he had off camera, and he brought the antenna into the camera's view and used some members of the club there to hold up ends of the antenna, you know, to display one. Even a rhombus and a moxon, and you know, but those names may be familiar to me, to you, and maybe not. But certainly the ones that you've heard of, the dipoles and the end feds and the beams of certain kind, even log periodics, you know, he explained them all. It was great video, and I'm glad I saved this because he was a very good presenter. But antennas is just always just as far as the eye can see. And the more you know about one, that'll apply somewhat to many of the others. And a good antenna is your best friend. I mean, it is your best friend. You can, if you want to, and some people really do want to use the lowest power they can to make the contact. And some radios are built that way, you know. A radio that'll only put out 5 watts, there's a bunch of those. And maybe 10 or 15 watts, there's a bunch of those. Brand new ones, you know. So high power, not so important if you have a great antenna.
About that, I've seen a lot of instances where people are using, you know, QRP with a really nicely tuned antenna and getting, you know, incredible DX. Right now, like I said, I'm an absolute newbie. I got a newbie kit, starter kit, and I'm having a blast. Well, I have actually, you know, in my 2 month journey, I've talked to people in Brazil and West Coast. No, I looked them up on QRZ, the antenna that they're using, and it's like, holy moly, it looks like these antenna structures are amazing. They're like thousands of dollars, so no wonder they hear me. Not only do they have a big microphone, they have great ears, so that's how they get my little station gets into there. So that's a learning thing, too, so a lot of new hams, yeah, if you're listening now, if you're just discouraged because, you know, you need a big antenna, you don't. You just get on air, and people with these big antennas will hear you. Over.
I'm KK4JBQ. Another thing to keep in mind is that their big antenna helps you. They can hear you better, especially if it's a beam of some sort. They can hear you better if they're pointed at you. And so your little pop gun. They call them big guns and pop guns. So your low power is aided by the better antenna on the receiving end. And then, of course, they got a straight shot right down your pipe just as soon as they hit the transmit. Yeah. But if you're doing something like parks on the air or summits on the air, all those people are very conscious of weight because they carry in their equipment and deploy it on site. Not a shack type of deployment. You're not permanent at all. You just take it this place and that place. So if you want to keep your pack light, you can build an antenna out of speaker wire. There's several instances of that, and they're very successful if you know what you're doing. Anyway, that the thing that will keep you interested in the hobby, this is important, the thing that will keep you in the hobby and keep you interested is if you challenge yourself. Put a personal challenge out there. One fellow I listened to today, his personal challenge last year was to use only 5 watts, QRP on CW, and 10 watts is accepted as QRP on single sideband. But he used that all last year and had hundreds of contacts. This year, his challenge to himself is to make a new antenna every month. Get that. JK4JBQ.
JK4JBQ, KO4JKV. Yeah, that's a good goal. And I have similar goals, not exactly the same, but similar. But as I've noticed in my new, you know, hobby, I check out, I can create a map of all the QSOs I've made. And it's like a, you know, all given that I'm using a vertical, so it has a, it's omnidirectional, so I have, you know, equal opportunity antenna. So, but it just maps out across my geographical location like a donut. And I know that if I had like a dipole or an infrared half wave, I could change that up. With a vertical, you can get some space. You just have this, like, perimeter that shoots out about 500 miles and goes about 200 miles, and then it ends unless you get another skip. I don't know if that makes sense.
JBQ, of course that makes sense. Absolutely it makes sense. Well, the longer you're working with antennas, the more, you know, wire starts building up and you start having to hang them in a certain place. Maybe you've got a garage wall that's not occupied right now and you put hangers on the wall and put antennas up. Well, eventually it'll occur to you that I want a multi-band antenna. I want an antenna that I can change bands on, just use a tuner, you know. And those are possible, of course. They're less efficient, but very possible to build a multi-band antenna. You were discussing the infrared half wave. The name would indicate that it's a half wave on a certain frequency, right? But the random wire, which looks like the same thing, it has a different mix on the toroid, a different number of windings. I think it's a 49-to-1 impedance transformer. And you can build it for the length would be non-resonant, all right, on the longest band you wish to operate on. So, or what's realistic is 40 meters. But you can get most bands, most of the amateur bands, on one antenna with a tuner and one length of wire. Well chosen. And those are, it's all over the internet, what a random length would be for the band that, again, that's the longest, the lowest frequency band you wish to operate on. Not reasonable to even consider 160 meters. So, but, you know, 80 meters maybe. I don't know, you could push it. Something that's designed well for 40 might work on an 80. But you just try it, you know. That's the thrill of it. You make your own present, and then when you use it, you unwrap your present and see what it does. AK4JBQ.
JKV, yeah, I was just listening to a YouTube guy I follow, KB9VBR. He makes antennas, J-poles, copper J-poles up there in Minnesota, I guess. And he had a speaker on that talked about the input output of a dipole, off-center dipole, and an infit, and it really clicked tonight. And that's when I made that connection with Andy about harmonics on guitar. It just made a big thing. So yeah, I'm having a blast. And I'm not quitting. You don't gotta sell it anymore. I'm in. KO4JKV.
Okay, well, Duncan, I'm gonna retire my station for the night, and me too. I'm gonna check, as KI4DOS says, I'm gonna check my eyelids for pinholes. You have a good evening, won't you? And thank you for coming in here. And a lot of people are listening. You and I will never know who has the radio on just listening for entertainment or information or whatever. But you've asked really good questions. You're on the path. and you just stay focused and challenge yourself, you know? That does make a difference. If you're just walking around in circles, I don't know if you've ever been lost, and that's how I felt when I first got in the hobby. Oh, gee, I'm lost. Well, when you're lost, you don't know which direction to go in. You just wander around. And you look to everybody who sees you. You look aimless and lost. But finally, you figure things out one thing at a time. And you start focusing. You start on a certain path, a direction. And that's what the challenges are about. That'll keep you stimulated to go in the right direction, you know, follow your nose, put your finger, a wet finger up in the air, whatever it takes, and follow that through, and you'll just, this hobby cannot be exhausted. There's so much here for anybody that it's a fine hobby to have. It's not just a lot of fun. People find ways. I was talking with someone just this past weekend whose commitment to the hobby is to serve others. And he's very serious about it. And if you just knew who I'm talking about and what he's done so far, what I'm aware that he's done so far, this is realistic. He's not in it for the fun so much. He's in it to serve other people. Well, with that, I'm going to leave you. Everyone out there, have a good night. Duncan, thank you again. We'll talk with you again. AK4JBQ. I'm clear.
Hey, and that was a great outro. And like I said, I'm like 50 years old. I've been into music and photography. Both of those are money taxing things, and you know, very you know, abyss. You can just go into the abyss. When you go into ham radio, it's just like going into music. So if you go into music, it's like, what are you going to do? You got to play guitar? You got to sing? You going to be a promoter? Are you going to be mix at the booth? Same with ham radio. It's like there's so many avenues of ham radio that kind of parallel to music. It's crazy. It's mind-blowing. So, but thanks for the QSO, and if you're still out there, or if anybody's out there wants to give some last-minute comments, come back. I got to use the bathroom. I'll turn the radio up really loud. But other than that, I'll be clear. KO4JKV.
JI4LZI, you had another question. If it's something that I'll answer. Come 11 o'clock, I'll have to go QRT myself, but I'll be in here monitoring until then. And Larry, we'll talk later. JI4LZI.
MKO4RIM.